music or something.
Monday, August 1st, 2011, 7:30 p.m., this Smyrna Council meeting is now called to order. Please rise for a pledge of allegiance to the flag.
To the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Brown. Councilwoman White. Councilwoman Mastin.
Here.
Mayor Stonball.
Here.
Councilman Riddle.
Here.
Councilman Flaherty.
Here.
Councilman DeFeo.
Here.
President McKillop. Are there any additions or deletions to the published agenda? Or a motion to accept?
So move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any additions or deletions to the minutes that we received from, I think, June 20th?
20th.
I know we just received those. Is everyone okay with them, or does anyone want to hold them until the next meeting so you have a chance to review them better? Are we okay? A motion to accept.
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Mayor, you also have on your desk tonight the minutes from the special meeting and the executive session. They are very brief. If you want to look at them and vote on them tonight, that's fine. If you want to hold them for subsequent meeting, that's also okay. They're on the table for you.
Pleasure. Want to accept the special meeting?
I move that we accept the minutes from the executive session on Saturday.
I second the motion.
And the special council meeting.
And the special council meeting. Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Reports myself. I received a letter, Mr. Hugg. I'm going to pass this to you. From the Department of Transportation, reference the Municipal Street Aid Fund, fiscal year 2012. Delaware State Senate 146 General Assembly passed Senate Bill Number 130, which allocates funds for the Municipal Street Aid Program. This year, the allocation is $4 million, with an additional $1 million. The additional funds are to be dedicated to improvements involving respective municipalities, roads, and bridges only. The allocation for our municipality, we're getting $150,506.19, and out of the restricted funds, we're getting $37,725.74, and again, that's to be used strictly for roads and bridges.
David, how does that compare to previous years?
Actually, the base allocation is a little bit lower than it was last year. That's a result of the Department of Transportation using the new census data. So some of the estimates, because municipal street aid is split up on a certain percent for street miles and certain percent for population. A couple of communities that had been underreported on population got the benefit of the recognition of their recent growth. I think our last year, if I remember, was about 157 or something like that. It's not a whole lot smaller. The $37,000 is brand new money. That's a one-time allocation. Just for the record, and I was going to report this when I did my manager's report, but we use all of our municipal street aid money for roads, sidewalks, parking lots, and those kinds of things. Some municipalities use their municipal street aid money for street lighting, for police vehicles, for certain types of labor costs and what have you. When they budget for those, and then as happened a couple of years ago, they don't get a municipal street aid allocation, they're in serious problems. So we've always used ours for actual bricks and mortar, asphalt, concrete. And I'll touch on that again when we come back to my report.
I've also received a letter from Citizens Hose Company and the Smyrna Clayton Ministerial Association. Every year they hold a ceremony for the 9/11, and they again this year will be holding it on September 9th at 7 p.m. over by the firehouse. It's really a nice ceremony. If anyone hasn't been to it, it's very, very nice to go to. So if any of council would like to go, they're asking that we RSVP by August 26th to the chaplain of Citizens Hose Company, and that's T. Blake Bowers. And if anybody needs any more information to that, I'll email it out to you. We have a stranger at the table.
My name's Terry Jaywork. I'm filling in for your regular attorney, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you.
He's out west at his brother's wedding right now.
Hey, well, welcome.
I want to thank everyone on council and the town employees and the town manager, everybody, for your sympathy cards and the flowers. It was very nice. I felt really good. I felt like you guys are family. So I appreciate it. My mother was 93 years old, and she was very ill, and she said she was ready to go. And so everything's fine, but I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Chief Worley.
Madam Mayor, I don't have a report, but I do want to advise council that tomorrow night is our National Night Out here in Smyrna. I encourage everyone here in the public to come and attend tomorrow night on South Main Street between Commerce Street and South Street. Hopefully all of our invitees will show up with the fire company, and this year we're having our DSP bomb unit. It's going to come and set up a display and a K-9 demo from Clayton PD as well. So it should be a good time for all tomorrow, plus some free hot dogs too.
What time does it start?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock tomorrow night?
Yep, 6 to 9 tomorrow night.
It'll be later, you'll miss the hot dogs.
That's right.
Okay, Mr. Hogg?
Thank you. My report is on your desk this evening. Just to pick up on the discussion of municipal street aid and related projects, we have put out for bid the 2011 list of municipal street projects in priority order to determine how much work we can actually get done using, there's about $450,000 or so in the municipal street aid fund from prior years, plus this 187. So we should be able to make a substantial dent in some of our road projects this year. We're also going to be opening bids tomorrow for the New Street Pump Station project. Hopefully we'll have some good bids. We had a lot of interest in that project. And we continue to work diligently to try and get the wellhouse projects completed on time. Their deadline is August the 16th or 17th, something like mid-August. We're working basically 7 days a week with the contractor to get those projects done and make sure all of our wellhouses are up and running. And then you can read the other, the other items that were.
Thank you. Are there any committee reports?
The utility committee. You have long range planning.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
We had a special meeting in the Long Range Planning Committee meeting regarding potential development north of Duck Creek, and town staff as well as David gave an excellent presentation on not only the zoning but the land use, the potential developments up there, some of the opportunities that the town has as far as guiding that development in a way that makes the town benefit from the process. And it was really good information, and our homework was that we needed to review certain types of development as to which ones we liked and which ones we didn't, examples of different types of residential and commercial development, in hopes that maybe sometime in the near future we can look at a zoning a development. I guess it's a, what would you call that?
An overlay district.
To help with the appearance and makeup of the development north of Duck Creek. But it was the timing was could not have been better, and we're going to get some things done in that committee. So I urge anyone that has the wish to kind of understand what's happening north of Duck Creek and what's going to happen north of Duck Creek to attend the next meeting. I believe it's the 15th. Okay.
What is it?
15th of August. So it's at 5:30 downstairs?
5:30, I think, downstairs.
I couldn't do it without her.
Neither could I.
Thank you.
Personnel Committee meets the 9th, which is next Tuesday, 5 p.m., and Public Safety will meet the 11th at 5 p.m. Downstairs.
I'm down the end here. I've forgotten about the utility committee is going to meet on Wednesday night at 5. Once again, we invite 10.
The Business Development Committee is meeting this coming Thursday morning at 8:30 downstairs. Very interesting meetings, and you're welcome to come out to it. And also next Tuesday night, not tomorrow night, but next Tuesday night is the Finance Committee meeting. Personnel Committee meeting too, right? Personnel Committee meeting followed by the Finance Committee meeting. Everyone's invited to come out to it.
For the Tree Commission, by next council meeting, we'll have another person who's volunteered to be on the Tree Commission. I'll have a biography to give to you, Mayor Stombo, for circulation to the rest of council. Letitia Pickett has agreed to be on the Tree Commission. The other issue is there is a large tree on North Main Street, pretty close to where Lefty's music store is. It's actually owned by Austin Foley family. And Janet Vince and I met with the State Forestry Service, Kyle Hoyt, last Friday to evaluate the condition of the tree. The tree is in good health, according to Kyle. The issue is that the tree's been there a very long time. The roots are growing above the sidewalk. It's kind of the bricks are elevated, and it's quite hazardous to someone who's walking along there if you're not paying attention. There is some options. Obviously, the first option is you can cut the tree down, which would not bode well with the citizens there because the tree has been there prior to 1910, based on a picture that Ken Reynolds supplied to us. There is an option of doing a bump out, which is going to create problems, obviously, when you do plowing during the wintertime. There's also the possibility of building a bridge. And Janet's also talked to Mark Wu, who's part of Public Works, I believe, Dave. And he indicated maybe there's some cementing work that could be done that would salvage it. Right now, we just don't know. There is grant money available from the state to fix the situation. And if there's monies needed over and above the grant money, both Senator Ennis and Representative Carson have assured me that they would find the funds for me out of their funds. So if we salvage the tree, there will be money spent, again, grant money and donated money, or worst-case scenario is, depending upon what council wants to do when we get everything together, I don't know what the end result will be. But we have our next meeting on August the 15th, at which time we're hoping Forestry Service will be there to present some options for us. The other thing we're doing as part of the Tree Commission is we're going to be partnering with Smyrna High School, with Keith Shane and the FFA group. To help us be able to take care of the trees that we have as part of one of their community service projects. I've also made contact with Marcia Fox, who's in Odessa, in regards to trying to partner with Eagle Scouts, part of the Boy Scout program, to see if maybe one of their badges that they earn can be some work that they do with the town of Smyrna to help with the trimming and the overall care of the trees that the town does have in order for us to be able to plant more trees. We need help with the existing ones. So that's all I have for the Tree Commission.
I actually have something to add. We received, sitting in my office to figure out what to do with it, our Tree City recognition sign and an 8-year banner designated even a Tree City USA for 8 years now.
Okay, super.
So that we're bringing to the tree committee.
Okay. 5 o'clock.
Okay. To get out of my office.
You want to move now, right?
Right, yeah.
No, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. I'll see you after the meeting.
All right.
This portion of the meeting is open to visitors. If you would like to address council, we ask that you step to the microphone and please give your name and address because it is recorded. You have 3 minutes to address council. Council may not have an answer to your question tonight. We may need to refer it to a staff member or to a committee. Would anyone like to address council?
Madam Mayor, the Farinda Curtis had indicated a desire to be here this evening, and on your table is a request from FaithWorks. I don't know whether she's not been able to be here yet. FaithWorks is planning to celebrate its grand opening on September the 3rd. They, if you remember, they came to council not too long ago. They moved into the building that's
what was it originally? The florist.
The florist shop over there on Route 13 across from KFC. They would like to have an opening ceremony in that portion of the street that there on Route 13 that accesses the KFC parking lot. What street is that? Yeah, it's off of 13 George's Lane North. It's North Street extended from the hours of 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. is when they would like to celebrate. They do have letters in the file from the manager at KFC and also from the ambulance billing service that's in the adjacent building, indicating that they have no difficulty with that request. I don't know if the chief's had a chance to review it or not, and we would want to.
I just looked at it
before coming over here tonight, and you answered the major questions. As long as KFC didn't have an issue with it and the ambulance company next door to it, I don't see too much of an issue.
What about fire? Can the fire trucks get in?
Yeah, what we normally do when there's, and we have another one probably that's going to come up in a few minutes, what we normally do when there's a request for street closure is we make sure that the folks closing the street make a provision so that fire police or ambulance can get through, which basically is either a barricade that can be moved or the retention of a 10-foot strip. And we'll do the same thing with them if council is okay with this request.
But one question, if you're closing that area off for them to have this open house, what's the provision going to be made for customers of KFC? Are they going to have to come in then through Mount Vernon and kind of so there'll be signs there posted if they're coming off of North 13 that they need to turn there on Mount Vernon and go round down back of like Jeannie Carson's house and come around?
There's also the entrance off of 13.
Yeah, they got entrance
off the right in entrance.
They'll still be able to come off of there.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. And they'll be able to come down George's Alley and access. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then
KFC
I understand.
From
that area.
Okay. Yeah. Chief, one more question. Has there ever been a case where you've closed off one of the roads that has direct frontage on 13? I'm a little concerned about people slowing down and stopping in the middle of the road where we're going to have some obstacles.
I'm going to have to talk to Faith personally and make sure that it's going to be signed and coned off and done correctly. To answer your question, no, not that I'm aware of. We haven't done this before.
Okay.
This is something that's going to be new. But I'm less concerned with this location given the alleyways and all the entrances in and out of it.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve FaithWorks Inc.'s request to close the roadway as long as after our chief speaks with them, He's okay with their plan.
Second.
Discussion. Oh, yeah. Got it. You okay?
Councilman Riddle?
Aye.
Councilman Flaherty?
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo?
Aye.
Councilwoman Brown?
Aye.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Councilwoman Mastin?
Aye.
Mayor Stombaugh?
Aye. Motion carries 7-0.
Madam Mayor, we also received a request, and Mr. Sheridan is coming up late today. It was too late to put it on the agenda. Again, it's in your packet. Requesting permission to close the portion of North Market Street that Mr. Sheridan has some number of years now closed on the halfway to St. Patrick's Day and as well as the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. This would be Friday, September 16th till Sunday, September 18th. And Joe? If you want
to. All righty. Joe Sheridan, 4244 West Commerce Street. Yes, I'm sorry for rushing in this. I was actually putting it in thinking that it would be for your next meeting, but my wife advised me that we wouldn't be here for the next meeting today, so I'm going on vacation. Yes, it's the usual application for the halfway to St. Patrick's Day, and to answer one of the questions that came up on the last one, we have to get a fire marshal inspection that takes care of that, and we have a 14-foot fire lane that we maintain with cones and that. That's one question that may come up. I'll bring up a situation that came the last time. Was Kyle Gephardt was not happy with the way that I was arranging the putting together of the event. So my thought is anytime you can get a suggestion and make things better, I'm fine with that. So I looked over some of the suggestions. He sent an email to Dave, and there are things I can do and do better, without a doubt, you know. Scheduling of different trucks coming in, beer trucks. So with that in mind, I'm more than willing to help and make it easier for somebody else to obtain their normal business. Other than that, it's no different than any other time.
Mr. Sheridan's request to close the road for halfway to St. Patty's Day on from September 16th until September 18th.
I second the motion.
Discussion. Roll call.
Councilman Flaherty.
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo.
Aye.
Councilwoman Brown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Councilwoman Mastin.
Aye.
Mayor Stombaugh.
Aye.
Councilman Riddle.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would anyone else in the audience like to address council? Seeing no one step forward, we will close this portion of the meeting and return to number 8, old business. 8A, council direction and guidance for the Smyrna Public Library Advisory Board.
This is a carryover from your last council meeting. I don't know whether anyone's prepared to discuss the item or not, so it can be stricken or deferred if...
Does anyone have anything they want to discuss on that subject?
Yeah, I do. I think we as a council need to make sure that the advisory board, just like any of the other committees that we have support us and advise us, has the appropriate guidance from the council to make sure that they can do their job. It is my impression that we have not provided them with the appropriate guidance, and that's our fault. And I wanted to, that was part of, I guess, the motion 2 weeks ago, or I can't even remember now. There's been so many meetings. To give the board some guidance as far as what the council wants them to do. And, you know, I know that Mr. Hugg gave us some suggestions as far as some of the things that are coming up as far as, you know, donations and bequests to the library, which may not work if the facility is moved or changed or the names change. What are we going to do with the library? What are we going to do with Stokes Gray House? There's a wealth of information or questions out there that I think, as a council member, I'd like some advice on. I don't know whether we need to do anything more. You know, it's my understanding that, and I will use the utility committee as an example. If the council has questions about utilities, and if Dave has things that he wants some advice, he'll go to Councilman DeFeo will put it on the agenda, and we will provide some recommendation that comes back to council. And I think we should have the same mechanism here, whereby if we want some advice or counsel from the advisory board, that we ask Councilwoman over there, Brown, White, it's confusing.
Green.
I apologize, both of you. To do the same thing, because I think it's a valuable group, and I think we just need to take advantage of all the experience and knowledge that that group has. And so that's my, I don't know that we need a motion, I don't know that we need anything more, or at least I'm not looking for anything more. I'm just looking for that mechanism to be in place.
So your suggestion is?
My suggestion is that I just wanted the opportunity to talk.
So he really is offering no information, he just wanted to talk.
Yeah. On his way to politics.
I agree that there is some confusion. When the committees were formed 5 years ago when I first became mayor, each committee was supposed to make up a mission statement. I know several of the committees have done that, and some of them have not. I believe, I don't remember seeing one from the Library Advisory Board, but of course I think this was something that kind of surfaced within the last couple of years, that it wasn't like well known that we were supposed to have an advisory board. And when Regina actually got on the library committee, where the hands were changed.
Transfer,
thank you. Then we found out that there was some paperwork with guidelines in it. And one of the guidelines in the paperwork was that there was supposed to be a library advisory board. And but I don't think it's gone much past that. There hasn't been much discussion past that. So I don't know. I mean, there should be a mission statement. The library advisory board should work on that. That would clear
good
a lot
start.
Of it.
It's a good
that
start.
Would clear a lot of it. We give them their mission, and then
I think we've covered quite a bit of the library over the past month, so for whatever reason. But I think that with Regina being active on the library committee and then the guild being involved, that the past year and a half or 2 years, we've heard more and more about the advisory board that we didn't before. And not to prolong this conversation at all, but we know what the personnel committee is supposed to do. We know what the finance committee is supposed to do. And that's why that mission statement is so important, because I don't know what the library advisory board is supposed to do unless there's an issue that needs to be addressed. Then they really, do they do anything? So I think that's why it's important that, I mean, as a member of council, I don't know that I actually know what they're supposed to do.
At the last meeting, I asked Mrs. Hurt to go back into the records and check out some history as to what the previous board did. When the transfer was made, it was supposed to be made up of the five people that were already on the board, and I have no idea who they were. And if you want history, you're going to have to go back to those. If we don't have a written history, we need to go back to those five people and find out, you know, what did they do? I mean, how is this going to be transferred to us? There has to, if there was a transfer, there should also be a transfer of whatever they were supposed to, of their responsibilities as well.
So I think she's moving forward. Then.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about it. Hasn't gotten there yet, but we are talking about it.
And I think if council could get a copy of the transfer. I've never seen a copy of it. I think a lot of that would be spelled out that for the rest of us council that have questions, I believe there's a lot of things in there would be answered.
Actually, if I can comment on that, it's one of the things I looked at in preparation for your last library workshop. There is surprisingly little in the agreement or the legislation that transfers the school, what had been the advisory board to the school district, to the town. I have to agree with Regina that you're almost going to have to go back. Two things. You're going to have to go back and look at what the role of that board was prior to the transfer if there are records or former members. Or I think you're just going to have to ascribe a new mission statement and say, well, you know, we're not really sure, because it isn't at all clear. It's about one line long, and it's to provide advice to the town council on library issues or something.
You're supposed to be on it.
And I'm supposed to be the staff to it. And that's literally all it says. It's a very vague statement.
Now, there is a little bit of history here that I think is interesting, where the library first organized in 1857 as a subscription library known as the Smyrna Library Association, became a free public library in 1940, expanding its services to include the residents of the Smyrna School District, hereby becoming a district library commission, as described in Chapter 71, Title 14 of the Delaware Code. And then it goes on to say that Kent County has never created a countrywide library system as contemplated by Section 6A and B.
You know, we might have some of the people from 1940 around, but 1857 is going to be difficult. We can try.
And I think Regina's moving forward, and we all understand what we're looking for now.
And the wording in here, the Town of Smyrna Library Advisory Board would make recommendations to the mayor and council on issues related to the library as referred to them by mayor, the town manager will serve as resource person to the board.
The same thing applies for every other meeting and board. If they don't have any issues, then they have issues. And if there are issues, then they present them here.
So my only final thought to this, practicing my speaking, my public speaking,
go for it.
Is to say that we are in 2011. You know, we need to have the board focus on its role today, not its role 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
But that provides a foundation. That's all.
Okay.
That's all that does. You need everything. I think needs a foundation, even if it starts today. But we know it started several years ago. So I think looking at that helps. That's all. We don't have to abide by it because we are in today. But I think any information that you can glean from the past can be relevant to the present.
Okay. Any idea when you guys might have a mission statement to bring
No,
up?
I haven't. I haven't talked with Mrs. Hurt lately. That was just the meeting a couple weeks ago. And whether she's put anything together yet or not.
And the next meeting is?
Yeah, the next meeting is on the 16th.
My birthday. All right.
Well, you can come and practice your public speaking again.
On your birthday.
I'm done.
Okay. 8B. Third reading, ordinance number 004-11. An ordinance amending the homeowners association requirements, fund in the subdivision and land development ordinance. This is the third reading, so this would be the third and final. I would like to make a motion.
Ordinance number 004-11, an ordinance amending the homeowners association requirements found in the subdivision and land development ordinance.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Councilman DeFeo.
Aye.
Councilwoman Brown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Councilwoman Mastin.
Aye.
Mayor Stombaugh.
Aye.
Councilman Riddle.
Aye.
Councilman Flaherty.
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0. 8C, third reading, ordinance number 005-11, an ordinance to create regulations governing tax assessment appeals.
I'll make a motion. We accept ordinance number 005-11, an ordinance to create regulations governing tax assessment appeals.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Councilwoman Brown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Councilwoman Mastin.
Aye.
Mayor Stombaugh.
Aye.
Councilman Riddle.
Aye.
Councilman Flaherty.
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo.
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0.
Madam Mayor, if I could, just the press here.
What?
Press. I'm sure this will be put out there again when tax appeal period rolls around, but one of the important changes here this is a big change, in that if you want to file an appeal, you have to contact the town, and you will be given a scheduled date and time for you to appear, where in the past it's always been people to show up and you have no idea who's going to come. The council's not, the board's not really prepared. So now, if I want to appeal my assessment, I'm going to contact the town. The town's going to say, okay, you're scheduled for 4 o'clock on such and such a day, and the Board of Appeals will hear your appeal then. Okay. Just make sure you understand that. It is a change.
When it gets closer to the time for this, Mr. Hogue, is it possible to have something put on, a message put on the electric bill or something to make people aware?
Plus several advertisements.
I wrote a brief about it in last week's article. I mean, I'm assuming I'll still be here at that point, and maybe we can do another article just reminding people to do the change.
Thank you. Number 8D, second reading, ordinance number 006-11, an ordinance to create real property tax exemptions for persons 65 years of age or older or over. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept ordinance number 006-11, an ordinance to create a real property tax exemption for persons 65 years of age or older.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question. Isn't this essentially a housekeeping ordinance?
It is. So we've kind of gone through it. Every year we seem to wrestle with the same issue.
Right. So why
don't have it in an ordinance form?
Why don't we just go ahead to how could we just go ahead to the third reading if it's just essentially a housekeeping? Make a motion to waive the second reading and go into the third reading?
Yeah, because the motion to waive the second reading is going to require a supermajority vote. It's going to require 5 votes.
You want me to waive it?
Waive the second reading.
We have a motion and a second. Shouldn't that be withdrawn?
Yes.
Need to withdraw.
Why don't we withdraw the original motion to start over?
I'll withdraw my original motion.
Seconder withdraws the second.
Who seconded it?
Okay, now we need basically a motion to suspend the three reading rule and consider this the third reading.
Yes, I'll suspend the second reading, make this the third reading to accept ordinance number 006-11, an ordinance to create a real property tax exemption for persons 65 years of age or over.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Councilwoman Madison?
Aye.
Mayor Stombo?
Aye.
Councilman Riddle?
Aye.
Councilman Flaherty?
Aye.
Councilman DeFeo?
Aye.
Councilwoman Brown?
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0.
Now we need a motion to...
Well, actually, I'm going to let that one stand because the motion was kind of combined and it passed by the supermajority. So typically we would do the waiver vote first and then we'd come back and vote on the main motion the way that was stated and the way the vote came out. I have no problem with it.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to have you back.
Number 9, new business. 9A, handling of common ground tax status of open spaces.
Yes. I ask that this be put on the agenda because we have a situation in Bombay Woods that they have a couple of open areas that have been taxed. And when we had our appeals day back on April the 4th, we had a community come to us who was represented by an attorney and said that it is state law that open grounds like that are tax exempt. They are assessed, but they pay no taxes on them. So I would just in fairness to Bombay Woods, I would like to discuss the possibility of waiving or forgiving the taxes that they have on their common ground, which is there are two parcels, and let's see, the two parcels are parcel number 7498 for $1,685.33. Parcel number 3498 for $1,082.72. And apparently they are struggling there to try to get the money for this. And I just think in all fairness, since we have forgiven the taxes on open grounds in other communities, I don't know why we shouldn't go ahead and do that for this community as well.
This is the
Woods. Woods, the only one.
This is the first year that this has come up. And I was going to bring this up at the Finance Committee meeting this week, but these are past taxes. These go back 3 years, Dave? These taxes go back. The taxes that were forgiven at the last appeals were taxes for this year going forward, not for past taxes. They're working on getting this money together, and I had asked that council give them a chance and see, you know, what they can do. They feel pretty confident that they can come up with this past due money.
Madam Mayor, can I say something? I, from the comments, I'm not sure that the council, it's on your desk tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if how many of you had a chance to read it. But I've, basically what I've said in this is that I've reviewed the statutes, 9 Delaware Code, Section 8110, and it essentially says that if you are a civic organization, which probably most of these homeowners associations are, and if you have this land for recreational purposes, and then it defines what that means, which probably most of these are because it can just be passive open space. If you meet these requirements, if you come in and you show you meet the requirements, then by law you are tax exempt, number one. And number two, the way I read this, that if you come in year three and you've got 2 years of back taxes and you show that you are exempt,
the
statute says is that those taxes are voidable, which means that either the town can forgive them in the past. So Bombay Woods could be forgiven. I shouldn't even say forgiven. The taxes that are already assessed against them would become voidable. So in my reading of that, either the town could say, well, we're waiving those, or they could go to court, theoretically, and get a court to say, you know, those taxes, you don't have to pay those taxes. But the key is that they have to, under the statute, they have to show that they meet the requirements, that they're nonprofit, and then there's like five or six things there that even though it's a nonprofit, that it's not being used to benefit an officer or a trustee, and, you know, things like that. And then, again, that it's used for recreational purposes. Now, as I said in my memo, I think that most of these homeowners associations could show that they qualify simply by coming in with a copy of their certificate of incorporation, which would, you know, say what it's for and that they don't, it's a non-profit and they don't have a profit. And then probably an affidavit from the president of the homeowners association or someone else who can say, you know, this is the land we have and this is what it's being used for. And, you know, it's pretty shallow showing. I mean, they don't have to show a lot.
So if they can date it back to the 2 or 3 years,
right, they can,
they
show,
can provide yeah,
right.
two they or three can. Years worth of proof that they were a legitimate homeowners association, then, Dave,
I think there are a couple of distinctions. The prior issue that came up, that HOA, represented by attorney, was able to meet that test.
Mm-hmm.
They came forward and demonstrated that they met the requirement under the statute. The folks in Bombay Woods are aware that they are potentially eligible for, you know, for this exemption. The difficulty in Bombay Woods is there is not an operating HOA, and there is no one authorized to request to make this finding on behalf of the Bombay Woods Homeowners Association. So you're basically asking us to give this exemption to a group of people who are admittedly struggling to get their house in order, if you will, but have no authority to act on behalf of the HOA or the community.
But they're diligently working.
Diligently,
I mean, you and I have been working with them for three months now.
But my point is, you know, there is nobody who can affirm, as Terry said, sign an affidavit as an officer of the HOA to meet this requirement. And my concern, and the reason I've been sort of, you know, unwilling to just do this unilaterally, is that, you know, I need to know I'm dealing with somebody who has the right to act on behalf of the HOA if it's ever challenged. That's the issue. The issue is not whether they potentially qualify. I'm sure they do. But, you know, this is a group of folks who, you know, well-intentioned, and I hope they eventually get their HOA reestablished. But if you read the Act and you read Terry's memo, you know, someone in authority to act for the HOA has to make the request. I don't have that request in front of me. I would not recommend to council that you tell me to do it.
Could I ask
that reason?
Who do you tax? If there's no HOA, then who are we taxing?
Well, in theory, the way it works is if the town would assess the tax against this common property.
Property.
And then nobody paid the taxes, and then the town would take the sheriff's sale. Now who's going to buy it?
So
we don't want to take care of it. We got enough grass and stuff to cut.
We, in essence, could table this issue until, to use the term that was used again, used before, until they get to act together, form an HOA, present their facts, their statement here that this is open ground being used, that that does meet the qualifications of the tax exemption, and then we can proceed from that point.
Yeah, but how is that going to benefit for the previous years?
I'm sorry?
If they were not an established HOA 2 years ago.
Well, actually, they were.
Well, actually, they were.
Okay. Resigned.
Okay, yeah, then let's just table it till they
Why don't we just table this?
I think it is important that the people, I saw a series of emails from some lady who's very active trying to get things going.
Right.
That she be given this information so she can go back to whoever she's dealing with and say, look, all we got to do is do this, and I've got one big problem resolved.
She has all that information. I don't know that she has that, but she has all the information.
She has the Barrett memo, the letter, and all that.
From the state, there's forms that have to be filled out to apply for this, for the state part of it, because they have a tax bill for that, too. So from what she told me, there were actual forms that had to be filled out and turned in. And like I said, Dave and I have been working with her at least 3 months, and they are very diligently, they're pulling it together. I think they're going to be fine. They just needed a little bit of time. And they're very aware of the no tax on the open ground. We've been very upfront with them. We've told them everything. Mr. Barrett,
Well, what I'm hearing then is it's not an issue once they come in and prove their eligibility.
Right.
Doesn't have to come back to council. So there's no. I just want to make sure that everyone out there is being treated fairly. That's why I wanted to bring it to the table for discussion.
One question, if I may, are there any tripwires, deadlines, potential fines that are coming up with regard to them not paying past taxes that we have to be aware of so that it doesn't happen?
No, I mean we've advised them that we're not going to take any action to, enforce these unpaid taxes or any of that kind of thing. The more critical issue for them is to get their HOA back active again and take over the maintenance of these properties, because that does have the potential of rising to the point of a violation of the property maintenance code, in which case they as an HOA could be charged with the cost of maintaining that open space.
Does this include the stormwater ponds?
It includes the stormwater ponds, right. This is most of the stormwater ponds.
And that's not part of the taxes. That's something separate. I mean, they will still have to raise money to take care of the HOAs. On the same line, I have a question about another development that they don't have an HOA yet because the development is still being built. I mean, half of it is done and half of it isn't done. More than half of it's done. So they haven't formed the HOA, so it's with the developer. And the developer sends out bills every year, and it was $100 a year, and everybody was aware of that. This year they got a bill for $100 plus an additional $50 maintenance, and they're wondering where this $50 comes from. But if this is true, is it just HOAs, or what happens in a situation like this? They're paying that $150 to maintain the open grounds and the pond, the water management pond. I mean, should they be paying that money to the developer?
Typically, what happens when a subdivider sets up his subdivision and records his declaration of restrictions, and he will incorporate the homeowners association, but the restrictions usually provide that the developer will be in control of the homeowners association until some, like, 75% of the lots are sold.
He's acting as the homeowners association.
So then, you know, basically he's running the whole show, and he's acting as the board. Typically, you know, sometimes they'll have, after maybe 25 or 30% of the lots, they'll have a liaison with somebody who's actually a homeowner out there or a committee. But the developer will not turn loose of that homeowners association until he's pretty much built out. He wants to take control of it.
So what, homeowners associations now should only be charging to have money to maintain the water management ponds if it's because before if it was open space and no, to make
it would be whatever the costs are. I mean, it could be to pay the street lights, it could be for snow removal, it could be for landscaping, whatever the homeowners association decides that they want to do. I mean, I can tell you that in a subdivision that I own a property in, you know, I have to pay dues every year, and that goes to the landscaping, the developer who still owns that is, you know, calling the shots.
Now, is he eligible to apply for the tax exemption on the open land?
He's not a non-profit.
No, he's not. He wouldn't be a civic.
not a
he wouldn't meet the definition of a civic association as long as the property's still in his name.
If it's still in his name, but I think if he's actually deeded it over to the homeowners association,
then
it
might. But typically, those don't get deeded over until the HOA is transferred.
Right. Because it actually goes into their name.
Yeah. So they're stuck.
Did I come close to answer your question, Mayor?
Yeah. Okay. Number 10, executive session to discuss contract negotiations. Do we have anything? Yes. Okay. Do we need a motion to go into executive session?
I don't know. Do you need to? Is this
said yes.
Okay. Yeah, you need a motion to go into. Now, how many? As long as we've got three things here. If we're going into executive session for any of these three, or all of these three, or two or three, whatever, we ought to state what we're going. The motion needs to state what you're going into executive session for. One of them is to discuss contract negotiations. Is item 11 still?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I ask that item 11 be put on the agenda or left on the agenda in case there was some follow-up action required from the special meeting on Saturday. There's nothing that I need to bring to you, so I don't believe there's a need for that executive session.
Number 11 we can strike.
You can strike. There's nothing to bring to you tonight.
Okay, and number 12, we need that, Captain.
Demote me here. But, yes, I still need to talk to council in reference to a policy change that could result in grievances from employees.
So I'll make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss contract negotiations and to consider a personnel matter in which the names, competencies, and abilities of an individual employee will be discussed.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Is there a motion to come out of the executive session?
Make the motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 13, possible action. Is there any other council business?
Go ahead. Yeah, we do too.
Okay.
You can go first.
Okay. The Delaware House and Dick Ehrer.
Yes.
What's going on? The last time that you and I talked, which was probably several months ago, I believe we were waiting on the assessors to come out to separate everything.
And to be very honest with you, I don't know whether they've been here or not. The last I had heard, where we left it last, was that the assessor was supposed to be, there's a handful of properties he's supposed to be reviewing again, and he was supposed to come down when he was ready and meet with them on that subject.
Could you look into that for me and let me know I can talk to Mr. Yerger?
That's what we had informed Mr. Yerger and others that, you know, once that was completed, we weren't going to charge them any penalties or do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Pending getting that
we
resolved.
We get together on that and find out.
It seems to be dragging on.
Mr. Hugg, as of Friday, that had not happened yet with Mr. Yeager.
Okay. I'm not surprised.
Okay.
I will follow up.
Thank you. That's my big complaint. I'm hungry.
I meant to add to the agenda tonight, and I discussed with the chairman of the utility committee, but with other things going on, neglected to do so. I'd like to ask council to authorize a voluntary water conservation for the month of August. Not mandatory, not order people not to water your lawns and all that kind of thing, but allow us to ask folks to conserve water if they could. As you know, we've had a long period of very high temperatures.
Although we had some rain the other day, our rainfall amounts for July were way below normal. And with the construction that's going on at the wellhouses, there are many days when we're only able to operate one or two of the three wells. So at times we are at potential risk if there was an unusually hot day and with no rain. We've also been in contact with the fire company and talked to them about using – they have the capability of drawing water from Lake Como, and I think from Duck Creek as well, don't they?
Duck Creek, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they've agreed that, you know, wherever possible, they'll use that water to fill the tankers. They've also contacted Lipsick, who has a tanker, to, you know, if we need additional water, that they would bring their tanker. It's not an emergency. It's not something that we want to, you know, tell people they can't fill pools or wash cars or water lawns. But what I'd like to do is just have the authority to ask folks. We'll do it through a did you know. We'll do it by informing the press tonight and putting it on the website. Just ask people if during the month of August they would voluntarily conserve water by limiting the amount of time that they, you know, use it for non-consumptive purposes.
Do we need a motion?
I think there should be. I would like a motion, actually.
I was going to make the motion that we authorize the town manager to request a voluntary water conservation in the town for the month of August.
Second.
Yes.
Further discussion?
I have just a quick question. Once both of the new pump stations come online, then your concerns over quantity, capacity are gone?
It's just that, you know, in this very, very hot period of time, you know, we normally would operate with three wellhouses in operation, and as a result of the construction we're doing, most of the time one of them is out of service right now and will be for much of August. And it's not that we have any imminent danger, but it's just one of those things if we could ask people to conserve.
Motion for a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, and I apologize for not. I had a note here to Mr. DeFeo to put it on the agenda for tonight, and we both forgot it.
Is there any other council business?
I just have one item. I'd like to have an update from Chief Borley in regards to the hiring of lifeguards and any more issues at the lake in terms of vandalism.
Yes. I think council is aware of the one incident that we have of graffiti that we're investigating now. You should have gotten a news release on that. We haven't had any more vandalism since then, and I have a small printout for any of you who want to know what the activity's been like from July to now, and that's when Paddle Shack started to open up. I can't quote the numbers off the top of my head of how many complaints we've had, but I think it was something around, I counted like five reportable incidences, and they were like disorderly kids and a suspicious vehicle and something like along those lines. And as far as the lifeguards, we had three applicants apply for lifeguards, none of whom were certified. And I can't remember which council, I don't know if I brought it up at the public safety meeting, but we either need to revise our requirements from lifeguards to security personnel, or continue on as we have without lifeguards, or close the lake. So we have to, one of those three choices that we're coming down to.
School's going to be going back in shortly. Schools in
those are the only three options that I can see.
With the graffiti, that was new, this graffiti.
Yes.
Was it captured on the video?
Yes.
So you
We're
have
working
it?
Now to try okay. to obtain that
good.
And
good.
Try to get identify who those individuals
Very
are.
Very good.
We were able to capture both the video and the audio.
Very good. See?
Yeah.
This is a little, I'm not a town attorney, but I saw someone's email, a lady complaining to the town manager about some issues she had, and she suggested, why don't you charge a fee? He's the lake. And at first, you know, I thought, you know, you don't want to do that. But you could do with passes, or you could charge a fee. that would pay for the lifeguards, and then for people that couldn't afford it, you know, some he'd have some qualification for that. But the big thing is you'd have a pass. Like in the cities, you get a pass to go into the city pool, and if you mess up, you lose your pass, and you can't go back in there again. Mm-hmm. And if the town could find some way to do that, where you give everybody that wanted one a pass, and then if they guilty of graffiti or a fight or something like that, they lose their pass, they can't come back.
We brought that up in the Finance Committee. And in fact, not only in the Finance Committee, but the people that came in here and complained that night, the neighbors across the street that they were swimming over to their property, they even made the same suggestion. Well, the big thing was that everybody in the town is so busy that nobody has any time to do these passes. But that is a suggestion that has come up, and I think it's a way of tracking who was using our property also. I would like to know how many town citizens are using it and how many are from out of town, because I know several of the people that I talked to the police department about that they did have a complaint about were not local. The one girl was from Dover that swam across the lake and was over on the other side. I mean, these are people that are from out of the area that are coming in and causing the problems.
I don't have a problem with passes. Yeah. I have a problem with charging a fee for the lake.
Considering that this year is almost done, yeah, it's in the bag, which committee do we think that we should delegate this to say, come up with a process or program for 2012? You know, whether we just have the passes, people need to acquire these. We have a gatekeeper. We have a lifeguard. Parks and Recreation.
Parks and
that's
what?
Wow, I like
Are
that
you
idea.
In charge of that committee?
I think
the Finance Committee, so they can allocate the money for the lifeguards.
Either one that we want to do this, whether it's public safety does the background work and sends it to Finance Committee anyway, but somebody needs to do all this, or next May we'll be sitting here arguing.
Same place we are right now.
So we have 10 months to put a process together. So why don't we do that?
We have a chairman for volunteer for chairman for Parks and Rec.
Well, I don't know how.
As long as I don't have to go back to charter review anymore, it's
fine. I don't know how Councilman Rudolph feels about it, but I don't mind working on that in public safety. With Councilman Rudolph.
What do you think, Bob?
Bob's okay with it.
You've just been outvoted.
I just think you're making a mountain out of nothing. I don't think there's that much problem going on down there now that we got the cameras and all that. I don't think we need the lifeguards, but I will happily be glad to work on it with the chief on the public safety and something or nothing, whatever we
definitely don't need lifeguards now this year. It's over.
I have one more issue. There's a house on Lincoln Street, and they have spray painted on the house, apparently, that it's for rent or for sale or whatever. There's not even, like, a sign. I believe it's just totally spray painted on the front of the house. Is that okay?
It's not okay?
I don't think so. I don't know. Probably violates the property maintenance code, but we will follow up on it.
Thank you. Right, I swear I'm not.
You don't know the address.
Second house on
Lincoln
the right.
Lincoln Street.
You could buy it for $1,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it says.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it'll cost you $3 to condemn it.
And then $500 a month.
But isn't it spray painted on there?
Yes.
What are you doing
on
Lincoln Street?
Okay.
What are you doing down there?
Oh, I get around. It's on my way to Sally's. How she gets there.
I can walk.
Okay, is there any other council business?
We better go.
I'll see you all tomorrow night at National Night Out.
Thank you very much. See, there's no other council business.
Oh, my gosh, I got to put that in my calendar. Can I get an email tomorrow afternoon?
Pull it off for us.
Can I get an email tomorrow afternoon, please? I like to come there. I've brought the baby every year.
With appropriate redaction of comments, you don't need to know.